It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Mark Husson. This is Mark Husson's Astrology Hour coming to you live September 30th at 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. How are you guys doing? So I might sound a little different. I'm in the middle of upgrading the sound system. And so Jay is producing me today. And I, at the very last minute, I said, Jay, I think I know where my other microphone is. So yay. It's how we deal, right? We roll. Hey, if you're new to the show, come on over to 12radio.com and click the chat button, and let's go check out the chat room and see how everyone's doing. I'm going to rustle a little sound here to readjust everything that I need, so bear with me. Boop, boop, boop. There we go. Okay. So it is crazy, and I know you all know that. I say that every week, but it is crazy. There is so much to talk about. There's so much to tell you about. I can't wait to go over. I'm going to go over to the chat room now and say hi to you guys so I can at least see who's in the space. This is so different. I'm such a creature of habit that you throw off the system just a little bit. Like, you know, last week. So what happened? I got to tell you everything that happened. Oh my gosh, it's crazy. So, okay. Yeah, things are just falling all over the place. This is great. Last week, right before going live, you know, I was having Keith Rubeck on with me, and right before going live, my mixer is suddenly just like not working, and that's how I get to you guys through this little thing. I plug my laptop into it, and I was like, okay, the Bluetooth light isn't working. This light, it's like, okay, Jay, come over here. So when you start a show like that, it is crazy, and it sort of throws you off your game, as you would imagine, you know, like any of this stuff. And then you're going live, and then you're like, oh my gosh, you know, we have to call Keith early because the way the system that we agreed to isn't going to work. And so everybody got thrown off a little bit, and it still was amazing. It was still great connecting to you guys. It's like, so what? It's live radio. What are you going to do? So my new mixer, because my old one just fried, I sent it in. Well, I forgot that when I sent it in, because I ordered a new one and then I sent this one in for them to evaluate, see if it's going to be covered under warranty. Who knows? That one has my music, my intro music. It has the way I talk to you by microphone. So it's like, okay, it's just fun. It's life, right? Okay, so here I'm in the chat room. I'm clicking the comments button on the right side. And when it opens up the comments, there's a phrase up there that says most relevant. When you click that, you want to show all comments because Facebook is determining what's relevant, who is relevant and who isn't. We don't want them to do that. And when you get there, you'll see Laura's in the house. Hi, Laura. Thanks for being here. Lynn, thank you. It's Eclipse Monday. It is. It's crazy. This energy is amazing. Dee Dee, you're in the house. Thanks for being here. Hi, Terry Campbell. Thank you for coming, Terry Campbell. I like to always alert that when there's an advisor from One to Listen in the house, I like to point them out. Hi, Terry. Pamela Snow's in the house. Thank you. Terry's already ready for a nap. Tara, thanks for being here. Good morning. Renee, thanks for being here. Nadine, last full moon taken in Alaska. That woman has seen some things. You know, good job, Nadine. That's so beautiful. That is just beautiful. I can't believe that's a moon. That's a full moon in Alaska on the water. I mean, I see that stuff every day on Discovery Channel. Okay, truly good to see you. Hi, Judith. Welcome. Jackie Walsh is here. Good golly goodness me. Getting ready to celebrate the International Balloon Fiesta. Oh, that sounds like crazy. Calling all 1-2 Tribe. Are you coming? You guys, the International Balloon Fiesta. That is so beautiful. You have to tell me where it is. Is it New Mexico or is that Arizona? I know it's one, but I can't remember. I mean, I see that. I always pay attention to them because they're so beautiful and it's so stunning. Inga, welcome. It's exciting to have you here. Hi, Maya. Good morning. Quelly. Grand Rising, Mark, and 1-2 fam, hope y'all have a blessed Monday. Thank you, Quelly. All right, you guys, let's talk about what the hell is happening. Oh, gosh, it's crazy. It is, and it's so much fun. Last week, I wanted to, I did talk to you a little bit. You know, it was sort of like my brain was still in the, like, what's going on with the sound system mode. But we were, I was talking to you about some of these changes astrologically that are happening. And sort of like, I feel like I'm beating I don't want to say dead horse. This is a gross analogy, but I feel like I'm just sort of like rehashing the same thing over and over with you sometimes, because sometimes I don't know that it's sinking in, and sometimes I do. I think, you know, well, you really need to know this because it's actually particularly important. So today, just keep in mind this. We have a Virgo moon today. Now, what happens with a Virgo moon, it seems typically, in my humble opinion, we tend to get this sort of like need to understand this and synthesize. Now, how that will show up for a lot of us is we want to get some things organized. Now, the opposite of Virgo, not really the opposite, but what Virgo tends to do in order to accomplish that unconsciously is to attract everything that's a problem, like my mixer. It's very similar to what a lot of you believe happens under a Mercury retrograde, under this Virgo moon. It's also ruled by Mercury. Every sign has a planet that it's associated with, and Virgo is associated with Mercury, but in an earthy way. So Mercury, being a mental sign, the sign that rules our mind, is now connecting with us in an earthy way, which means material things, things in the earth, things we can touch, things we can feel. And that's why Virgo gets the rap for organization. Now, oddly, Virgo gets the rap for being the perfectionist and the neat freak, but I think they're two different things. I think we find that more in Aquarius moons. This sort of like OCD obsession about things being perfect and in the right place. Virgo just needs to understand the order. So you're going to find Virgos that aren't necessarily, oh, everything's in place, blah, blah, blah. You might find them that everything's organized just perfectly so you understand it, because it's about the earth. It's about understanding. Like, that's why if you went to because this is a generalization, but if you went to an Aquarius moon home versus a Virgo moon home, and we'll talk about the moon, what that means, the difference. What you would see is, I think, the difference between one's intuitive and touchable and tactile, and the other's sort of like mentally perfect. And I'll let you figure out which one's which. Well, the Aquarius is mentally perfect. Where Virgo's is sort of like, it understands the earth. It understands your feelings. It understands what things, where things go and why. So that's a little difference to think about. The moon is kind of where we go to understand our needs, but it also sort of talks to us about the feeling tone, talks about the subconscious drives. So when Virgo is in the space, like it is right now, how many of you woke up with a particular kind of criticism? How many of you woke up with a particular kind of like OCD obsession to get something correct in your life or something right in your life, like a new way to do something? Or just think about it. Like, how many of you thought this needs to be improved in some way? Because Virgo can do that ad infinitum. But I want you to keep in mind something. We're riding on a sandwich of eclipses. We had one 2 weeks ago, the Pisces eclipse. And now we have one coming up here, the Libra eclipse. So this one's coming in Libra. It's a new moon too. So this is so very important. You're going to hear a lot of different stories about eclipses. You're going to hear a lot of different astrologers have their takes on them. Astrology is kind of this ever-evolving thing. And you hear the new voices come up and the old voices come up, and everybody has this new idea and this new take, and it's great because we want that. You know, we want the innovation in astrology, but we also want to keep you reminded that when we talk about astrology, we are not talking about things happening to you. We're talking about things reflecting back to you what is already existing in your consciousness, what's already in your awareness. That's what astrology does. So this eclipse is already telling you you're ready for a shift. you're ready for a change. You're ready for something to come forward that is, I think, one of the most objectively shifting, mentally shifting catalysts that we're going to see in a long, long time. Because, and we've talked about this, next year, we're going to see the changing of four major planets, changing signs. And I emphasize this every week. I can't emphasize it enough. It is a great time to be alive in astrology. It's a great time to be alive. And astrology is reminding us that it's a great time to be alive because you're witnessing the shift in consciousness literally before your eyes. Now, that doesn't necessarily portend an election result. I'm never going to go that road with you about predicting and needing to be right in any sort of predictive way. Okay. I just don't want to do that ever. What I do want to do is I want to have this opportunity to, I just heard this hum just go away in the sound. I hope you all didn't hear it, but oh, nice. All right. So what I do want you to think about this as we're coming to this sort of, and it is so zeitgeist. It's so like, this is so like one of those times we're going to use the word a lot. And you're going to hear that word a lot because there's a consciousness shift. And we don't want to look at, it's not predicated by an election. The election is basically going to be a reflection of what's happening in you anyway. Okay. And any result that happens out here is always a reflection of what's happening inside of you. So one thing I would suggest is you get a handle on your fear, get a handle on your disgust, get a handle on everything that you think out here is the reason for your problems. Okay? So I give us a lot of permission to blame Mercury retrograde when Mercury is retrograde. I give us a lot of permission to blame Mercury because it's fun. And when you're conscious that you're blaming something because you know it's kind of wink, wink, not really that thing that's doing it, stuff changes inside of you for the better because you're now not playing with this firm belief, like this religious ferocity that what you think is happening is really what's happening because it isn't. And the reason you know it isn't is because you can change your mind about something and shift how you feel about something and your reality shifts. You already know that. That's not metaphysical woo-woo. That's just look at how you think somebody lied to you and you hate them and you think all these things and you're mad and you're angry and then they talk to you and you realize, oh, that wasn't a lie at all. That's what they believed to be true. They told the story that the information they had or whatever, and all of a sudden they look different. Okay? Or you thought somebody stole something from you and you found it, the thing that you thought they stole, and all of a sudden they're different. That's how quick reality changes, and that is so wonderfully important why astrology is something that we can map some of those shifts because they happen so spontaneously that you're like spontaneously that they your reality is now changed and you didn't even notice. So you have astrology to track some of this shift, and it's big. And Pluto now, okay, so let's start with the farthest planet. And you all, don't get stuck with, is it a planet? Stupid. It's just so dumb. It's a thing in our consciousness. Yeah, it's a planet. And it's in, like, is the sun a planet? Because we're treating it like one. Is the moon a planet? No, that's a satellite. Well, yeah, we're treating it like a planet. Is Pluto a planet? This is ridiculous. We see it. We track it. And it's in our consciousness. And the way it was discovered is in our consciousness. So don't get into that stuff. Don't get nitpicky because that's the stuff for people who don't want to understand astrology. And that's all great. But here's Pluto. This Pluto is such a deep, profound changer of consciousness that I don't even think we can begin to scratch the surface of its profound effects on us. We can look throughout history. We can track it when it was in Virgo, when it was in Libra, when it was in Leo. When it was in Leo, that was most of us in my generation. I'm the very tail end of Pluto in Leo, and that's 1956. So if you were born in the 40s and 50s, 30s, 40s, 50s, you had Pluto in Leo. It was there for like four, it was there for a long time, like 40 years, I believe. And that generation you saw was a sort of self-determinant generation. And it was the generation that sort of like solved, they were like the, I don't know, they were like, that was the pick yourself up by the bootstraps, stupid stuff. But those, that was like, we can do this. We're everybody counts, and we're all, we, you know, every life matters. And it was like the, it was kind of like the inset of the Me Too, not Me Too, the Me movement, the I movement. And then, but I want you to hear this. And it went to the generation of the hippies had Pluto and Leo, so hair was a rebellious thing, like hair was for, and that was Uranus and Leo as well. But then the consciousness changes and Pluto goes into Virgo, and we see this cleanup happen, this big massive cleanup. We see this focus on numbers and finance and preppies, and the shoes and loafers were different. It was like penny loafers were big when Pluto went into Virgo. And you always see something happen at the beginning of the Pluto's interest into a sign, and you see something amazing happen at the end. And one of the most stark examples of that was Pluto in Scorpio. That's its ruler. When Pluto entered Scorpio, we just started hearing rumors of the priest scandal with molesting kids, the Catholic Church thing, and sex, right? That kind of thing. And then, literally under Pluto in Scorpio, we discover AIDS, death by sex, right? I mean, interesting stuff, right? And at the very end, when Pluto leaves, it's like we get there's finally universal acceptance of it. There's a new kind of compassion for people of same-sex couples. There's new drugs being invented. There was a push to understand. So the Pluto leaves with a gift every time. In Sagittarius, we had religious crises. That's where the Catholic priest thing sort of really blew up in a big, big way. And then we get the secret, the new, like the metaphysics starts taking hold, like the new kind of spirituality emerges, and it's like in everybody's consciousness. Hay House got really big during that cycle, and you can see how Pluto sort of shapes and stretches. When it went into Capricorn, we see this all of a sudden it's like the emergence of the Donald Trumps, the MAGA people, the populist mentality, corporations, government, everything's being questioned. And now we're getting into this nitty-gritty of like, what's the truth? Like, what is the truth? Social media was a big one too, under Pluto and Sag as well. Like this communication, this inspiration. And there's a many other things. In fact, it's fun to do the research on it. And I didn't come prepared to give you all that. But I have it. And then we'll have a talk about the Pluto, like how Pluto marks its territory. But when Pluto went into Capricorn, then we had the sort of terror effects of like government, the terrorizing effects, like the I wanted to look up, I did want to, let me see if this, my microphone's on top of the book I need to use, but I'm using it, I'm pulling it off, and I wanted to see in 2001 where Pluto was real quick. I got it right here. You just flip. There's a book called An Ephemeris, and you just flip through it really fast. You just look at the top. It has every month and day. And Pluto was in Sag during 9/11. Okay, so I want to, like, that's like, those are, that's like, this is like the destruction. I want to have a whole talk about it, but it is sort of like the Zeus myth, the bigger than life forces that we believed we had to take down. Everything that was possibly going on that destroyed our faith and how we came back together to be strong, to be faithful. It was sort of when Hay House started growing really big, and Wayne Dyer's, the Louise Hayes, the new voices, the Esther Hickses, the new voices in the New Age movement were very powerful. People needed that. People needed something to turn to. So anyway, my point. Pluto in Capricorn, and I wanted to get you just the day that it entered so you can sort of track this yourself, because it's leaving, you know, it's done. And so Pluto went into Capricorn. It's like 2000, the housing crisis. That's how we were birthed into the 2010, 2009, 10. That's how we were birthed into Capricorn. Like, get that housing, your structures. That was like people were underwater. It was a horrible time. Okay. We're at the end. It's at 29 now. 29 is the farthest any planet can go. 29 degrees, 59 minutes is the furthest a planet can go in a sign. And now we're there. And this is there. November this year, the election, that's when it's there. And let me tell you something. I'm going to give you that date too. Just feel this. You don't have to really take it all in. You can understand it any way you want. But Pluto will be in Capricorn until the 20th of November when it goes into Aquarius forever. So it's seeing us through the election. And whenever Pluto leaves a sign forever, like 240 years it's going to be, we get a gift. It's not on that day. It's like within that sort of like flow of energy, like a couple months, there's a gift. And it'll be really fascinating to see how this gift unfolds, how you perceive it as a gift, what it is. So I would never in a million years try to predict that for us, but I want you to understand the significance of this time period. So we're having a very critical election in the United States. Critical meaning one of the most contentious. Like, you know, I don't think we've ever felt, maybe not since the Civil War, so divided as you're on this team or this team. And that's happening. And it's going to be decided by a few thousand people because of the way our system works. So it's very interesting to keep an eye on. We see the shift that's happening in consciousness by virtue of Pluto leaving. And then the following year, 2025, let me tell you, Neptune will be changing signs into Aries. Uranus will be changing signs into going into Gemini. Saturn will be changing signs into Aries, and Jupiter will be changing signs into Cancer. Crazy to have that many outer planets shifting signs because they move so darn slow. Pluto is going to take 14, 16 years to go through one sign. Neptune takes 14 approximately, Uranus takes like 7 years or 8 years, and then to have them all in the same year in their cycle within a sign. So if you don't think you're shifting now, it'd be so fun to see how we're feeling in a year. We got to talk about this next year, right? We're going to have to follow up. But what I suggest is get at peace within yourself now. Get the peace within yourself. And how do you do that? That sounds so corny, right? You don't get to peace within yourself by having everything that you believe that can make you happy exist outside of you. And I'm not saying just turn to religion. I'm saying have an understanding that your happiness is a perspective that you can control. It's like trust. It's like love. It's like anything is a decision. You know, love is a decision, right? True love. Not romantic love. True love is a choice. Trust, it's the choice. You control your decision to trust. There's people I trust to lie. There's people I trust to tell the truth. There's people I trust with anything I have. There's people I trust with nothing that I have. But the point is, it's assigned by me. It's assigned by you. So, and depending on like the energies that you're surrounding yourself with, like for example, a planet is going to depend on how it affects you. So let's talk about the planet effects that are happening. Like like the real immediate ones. Now I talked about the outer planets, Pluto, Uranus, Neptune. Those are called outer because they take so long and so many people of a generation have the same placements, right? But the moon changes every 2 days. The sun changes every 30 days. And the moon in that 30-day cycle has repeated, it's gone through the entire zodiac. So the moon is like a mini universe. It's going through every zodiac sign within a 29-day cycle. The sun does a bigger one a day. It takes 30 days where the moon is, the sun is in 30 days in one sign. Okay, the moon is 30 days in the entire zodiac. So what we're having is the sun and the moon are lined up as an eclipse. Okay, and that means that they're going to be so close that the moon is going to be, so it's in Libra. So the sun is in Libra. The moon is going to come in front of the sun and show us darkness. Like it's going to cover the sun. Now we're not going to be able to see it as a full eclipse, but the shadow of the moon will be somewhere on the earth. And that's how you know it's eclipsed, by the virtue of the shadow. I mean, that's how lay people know. True astronomers know by the actual ingress, the degrees, the sidereal time of the moment, where the alignment, but it's an eclipse. And what it does is it's going to be in Libra, and it's going to place this moment in time in our charts is energy. It's like none of this is really happening, right? I'm talking in a metaphor. It puts this thing, this time, this moment in time in our chart. And that means at 10 degrees of Libra, if you know where that exists in your chart, the number 10 Libra in your chart, that is an active hot point. And it remains a hot point because it's going to basically be there as an energy. So anytime the moon will be in Libra, we're going to feel it again like in 30 days. But it's going to activate that area of your life in a new, profound way. And I'm not saying like on the eclipse day, which is Wednesday morning at 11:35, so Wednesday afternoon for most of us, 11:35 for the Pacific people, that new moon is like any other new moon. We can kind of feel the heaviness of it. We can kind of feel the emptiness of the first moment of that new moon, and then it pops into something very different. Now, we've got to talk about the Libra things that it's bringing. What does Libra mean? And each of you deal with Libra differently. So listen, the moon's going to be in Libra tomorrow night. Let me see. I'll get you some dates, times on that exactly, because this is so fun for you to hear. Tuesday, let me see. I'm looking at the Power Peak, which is at markhusson.com, and the password is Maggie, R.I.P. Maggie. It enters Libra in the afternoon about 3 o'clock Pacific time. So if you understand Libra, if you understand how it affects you at all, you'll have this sense. Now for me, I'm a Scorpio rising. It's in my 12th house. It'll be a more internal thing. It could be my 11th. It could have to do with people around me. It could have to do with my perception of the people who work for me, because it would be my 11th house. I haven't looked. It'll be right around there for you. And here's what the issues of Libra are. Wherever it lands, the issues of Libra have to do with justice. They have to do with fairness. They have to do with equity. They have to do with beauty. And most importantly, they have to do with whatever Venus is telling it to do. So on Wednesday, when the new moon hits, I'm going to be noticing that Venus is in Scorpio. And so there's going to be truths that are going to be uncovered. Justice is going to be seeking truth. And notice what's happening. Diddy, okay, P. Diddy, Venus and Scorpio, that uncovering the truth. Like these are pretty bad people, right? I don't know about the mayor of New York. I don't want to put judgments on anybody. I mean, but the crimes being committed here, on at least not for P. Diddy, sound horrific. The mayor of New York, the indictments, you know, about Trump's indictments, all of this stuff. This is Libra and the justice system. We're in the thick of it. Now, the truth, Venus and Scorpio, probably is going to happen somewhere. We're going to hear some things. We're going to uncover some things, more and more stuff. I don't even think we've scratched the surface of truth, honestly. So I don't know. But Venus and Scorpio is telling us, get ready for some things to be open and exposed, okay? And no one, I don't think, is safe from it, in the sense of like, if you're harboring something in your life, if you're feeling like you're keeping something, and we all have those and we have a right to those. I'm a Scorpio, man. We have a right to our secrets. Don't mess with my secrets. But all I'm telling you is this is our chance to be at peace with ourselves and what we have. And the way we do that is we stop whatever it is you think you've assigned yourself as. Stop. Just change. Stop. I don't think if you think yourself as an angel, stop. If you think yourself a devil, stop. If you think yourself as incompetent, stop. If you think yourself competent, successful, whatever, change. Stop the storytelling. Just stop the storytelling and have a moment of taking all that, those labels, those titles, take them off you and kind of be. Like, kind of this, like, this is me. No matter how much money you have, no matter how much money you don't have, no matter what pot you put yourself in, whatever category you've laid yourself in, laid yourself on, see if you can see the story that you're telling and stop telling it just for a second. That's not who you are. That is not you. You're not vulnerable. You're not indestructible. Stop the storytelling. This is so perfect. And in Libra, in the perfect moment of a Libra eclipse energy where we get to see balance and truth, remember the myth of Libra was Paris, a mortal, was considered to have the most impeccable taste, better than the gods. And Zeus gave him the authority to go put a golden apple, hand the golden apple to the most beautiful of the goddesses, the three goddesses. Now, you know, it's a fool's journey. Because whoever he gives that apple to, the other two are going to kill him. They're goddesses. What are you, you know, like, what are you doing? So what did Paris do? He picked the goddess that was going to serve him the most of what he truly desired. And he wanted love. You know, the sort of Libra's hunt for everything is love. Well, guess what our hunt and mission is going to be? It's going to be that same love, but in order to get to it, you Venus and Scorpio it, you get rid of how you've described yourself. Stop the storytelling about yourself, who you think you are. You're not a good person. You're not a bad person. Stop any of the titles, virtue signaling, not virtue signaling, I don't care. The idea here is in the Libra perfection of the balance of the scale, which we never really get to. Libra scale is too infinitely sensitive. But we stop with just, we try to get down to a basic naked truth. We are. And in that arness, you're erasing everything that you labeled yourself as. Because everything is, like, those labels are lies. It's all conditional. I mean, I what I'm trying to get you to do is just basically be okay. Just be okay without the definitions, without the, you have a right to be okay without the fact that you did this good thing once or you did this terrible thing, right? So I'll never forgive myself kind of energy. All that, I want you to have a moment of erasing all of it. Do you know how many times, how many things, when we, there was a movie that came out one, it was about, it was, Brinkley, he died like three times. Wait a minute, what was it? Go into the light, or you know, go. It was something about into the light, but it was like the idea was he brought the idea. I think it's David Brinkley. I know I'm going to mess it up. David Brinkley was a newscaster, right? So it's close name to that. You'll figure it out. It doesn't even matter. But he died. He was a mean man, I guess, apparently, just really superficial, was ripping people off. He dies, has on the operating table, and has a vision that they reviewed his life, and the person reviewing his life was him. Now, I'm not saying this is what happens. I'm saying this story is, again, use it as a metaphor. Any story you hear where somebody says, this is what happens when this happens, when you die, use it as a metaphor. You don't have to dismiss it. You can just say, okay, it's a metaphor. And so he saw his life being reviewed, but the voice reviewing it was his voice reviewing him and everything that he'd ever done. He had to be in the presence of his actions. He had to feel everything that he had done and what it felt like to people. You have to relive those. And it was so awful for him because he was such an awful person that he said, I'm never doing that again. I'm going to change my ways, right? So it happens three times where he dies three times. He eventually becomes really psychic and then decides to use it to help people prepare for their review. Right? That's the sort of the mission of all of it. Prepare for your review, because if you prepare now for the review, it'll be easy. So I, in my infinite wisdom, as a 30-something, maybe 40-something, I start doing nice things. And look at John. Every time I'm doing it, I'm like a little brat. And I go, ha, this is going to look good in my review. I help people. I'd be like, he goes, you're being so nice. I go, yeah, I got it. I need some review points. So it became my mission to be a little brat about it, like completely disingenuous. But it was like, I'm going to look good in my review. That's all there is to it. And so I said, we got to the point where it was almost like a ridiculous joke. And my point to you is, you can believe whatever you want to believe, but you can also believe that the love that exists for us isn't based on these little things we do. It isn't based on the little things we don't do. In fact, rumor has it, it's kind of unconditional. There's not a condition in which you have to be to experience a sense of love or presence that loves you or that cares for you. Now, at the risk of getting too spiritual with you, all I'm suggesting is during this eclipse, you find a little piece of that moment. Remember, I talked about my rock that when I was at the moment of my complete despair, had no one in my life at this moment. And I remember this little voice going, I'm still here. You know, hey, dude, I'm here. Like a rock in an ocean. It was like, I'm here. I'm not going anywhere. And it never changed. It never quivered. It never shook. It never judged. It never did anything. And it was like, follow my voice. It'll be fine. And I remember being so profoundly affected by hearing my little voice telling me I'm okay, that it changed everything for me from that moment on. Everything. I had hope again. I had trust again. I believe that if this little part of me is an abandoning ship in this worst time of my entire existence, where I easily could have gone away and no one would have ever known, and I mean literally gone, like boom, off, in that moment, that little voice was everything. So I'm asking us, under our Libra moon that comes up, we find our little voice. Not the one that loves all the good things you do. Not the one that hates all the bad things you do. That's not your voice. The voice that I'm talking about is the one that doesn't care about any of that. Basically sees you. That's the balance of Libra. That is one of the deepest, most profound, most amazing things Libra offers us. And if you know a Libra, and I happen to know one, you see that at work in them. Loving and being kind to people that I would never want to be within 500,000 miles of. So they have a gift, the gift to see the goodness in somebody. And all I'm asking us to do is turn that inward for a minute for this eclipse. Just a minute, just a second. All the judgments thrown away, how you look, what you feel like, any of that stuff, throw it all away. And take that moment of like, be in the middle with Libra, right in the middle of the scale. And find that non-judgmental voice that is like, hey, wink, wink. That's it. 2 seconds. That's all you need. I promise you. I promise you. I mean that from personal experience. But I do think if you can actually get there, if we could actually hear and feel that moment, that we have nothing to do with what's going on out here. It's change. It changes you. Okay? It actually heals regret. Imagine there's no scoreboard. Imagine the worst of it is you review, which I don't even know if I believe. But imagine there's no scoreboard that gets you closer to the love that you and we're taught and we're told that we come from. That's kind of profound. I mean, if you can let a little piece of that in. Now, if you're like, I don't care about any of that, you're still fine. You're doing fine in your life, right? And if you aren't, you're still, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. That doesn't make anybody better or worse. It doesn't matter. You don't have to take anything I'm telling you in. But if you find that, you're going to find it easier under this eclipse because it's coming. It's coming fast and it's going to happen Wednesday. So between now and then, let's work on that voice. I'm going to check on y'all. I'm coming back. I'm checking in the room. Let me hit refresh and do this rigmarole that Facebook puts me through. But, you know, look, blame Facebook because I'm too silly to learn it all, but I'm hitting the comments. So I hit the comments and it says most relevant, and I click most relevant and it changes to all comments. So those of you that want to follow me, please do. Okay, so here we go. And Patricia's in the house. And Penny, good morning. Judith, learning via repetition is the only way the stubborn bull crap ever gets anything. Please do repeat yourself as often as you'd like. You're an angel. Thank you, Judith. Chris, Diana, I woke up this morning and moved furniture around prior to making coffee. I don't know why I get such a kick out of seeing you all do what I do. It's so funny. Lioness, welcome. Okay, Judith, this upcoming time on Earth shifting is, I think, why we all took birth to be a part and witness. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Isn't that funny? Yeah, maybe like the timing is kind of perfect, right, Judith? Pamela, I am so ready for a shift. Bring it. Y'all are, I mean, it so hits me in this tickle point because it's so true. We want this shift to occur, don't we? Aren't y'all tired of this shit? I love it. It's fun because we can say, I'm tired of this shit. But it's kind of like real. Like, I have never been so burnt. Like, it's so easy for me to, I used to live in front of the news. I did. I don't even want to know. Give me a headline. Okay, let me just know. There's certain shows I really do enjoy watching. Like, I'm a nerd. I watch The Morning Squawk Box on CNBC. And it's the best place in the world to get your news. I know everybody thinks that's stock market stuff. Believe me, it's not because I'm following stocks. It's because the truth of how the world is being affected, some of those brilliant, most wealthy, most poor, most benign, most kind, most mean people in the world get interviewed. And it's so cool. So I'm plugging that. I guess it's one of my favorite shows, Squawk Box. And it's on early. I mean, it's on at 4 a.m. my time. So I just tape it. I just hit tape. And it's like, it's so educational for me. I feel like I learned so much about how the heartbeat of this part of the world is thinking. And there are some really, truly, truly some of the kindest, most benevolent billionaires on TV that I've ever seen. Like, you can tell their heart is so kind and sweet. It gives you hope. Isn't that sweet? Love that. There's some meme ones too. Trust me. I know. We all know. Okay. Mark, so glad to hear Jay and to read the comments from the tribe. Yeah, so glad to be here. Ali Shea, thank you. It's good to have you here always. Happiness is a moment with you. Hi, Judy. Tumultuous says, Judith, I say work on ankle mobility. Aquarius rules the ankles. If y'all don't know Judith has one of the quickest wits I've ever seen. It's pretty amazing. But it seems like all of you guys in this room have something, such a beautiful little way to express things. You always get me laughing. So thank you for bringing your wonderfulness here. Judith says, Libra is my mother. We'll be 88 on October 11th. Oh, boy. Love that, Mark. Perspective matters. Pluto opposition, Neptune opposition, pass. The Uranus conjunction in pass with Libra ascendant should make for an interesting times ahead. And yes, it's so fun to know that you're getting to watch yourself in the middle of a transition and it being outlined, like the metaphor of it is being outlined for us. And if it's hitting you very specifically, which it sounds like some of these are, what a freaking amazing time to be aware and alive. And the only lifeline we need, right? Us, the little voice, the little thing that we remember. We're in this. We ain't of it. It's all good. Let the soup be mixed. Dan and Brinkley. Judith, thank you. Not David Brinkley, Dan and Brinkley. Thank you. Thank you. Danion. Yeah, Dannion. Brinkley wrote the book. Check it. It's cute. It's a movie. They did a movie. Julia Roberts' brother is him, I believe. He stars in it. I mean, it's just cute. It's a cute idea. It got me thinking about, like, Because he's still alive and he's still actually going around trying to save people from having terrible reviews. Isn't that cute? It's like the ultimate Amazon. We're the ultimate Amazon product, and somebody's going around making sure people write good things about us. It cracks me up. Thank you, Judith. Big hugs back to you. Truly, very interesting movie being released called The Apprentice about Trump and the rise in the corporate world. I love that. Good for you. I love it, truly. I'm a little saturated now. I'll probably have to watch that in a year or two, but good to know about. Thank you, Sarah. Hi, all. My south node is in Libra 9. Oh, good. The eclipse is on your south node. And your husband's north node is Libra. No planets right by 10 Libra for either of it. That's okay. No, that counts. 9 counts. 13 counts. Yes, it's big. Okay, when it's on your node, your south node, and it's so funny that your partner is the kind of like what represents where you're trying to, his north node is your south node. So you represent for him everything he's striving to be just by you being you. That's very simplistic put, and I'm sorry if that's rude and insulting because it is a little too simplistic. But generally, you do embody a lot of what he wants, like the kind of Libra community that he's looking for, the Libra fairness that he's looking for, because he has a north node and he has a south node in Aries. And so he came in like I'm on my own, I gotta do this on my own, I gotta and so he's learning to trust and be connected, and you're doing the opposite. You're learning from him, his south node, how to be on your own, how to, be independent and trust your own voice instead of keeping everybody happy and nice. Hey, Lori, love back at you, girl. Lori has a show right after Kat, who's after me. Lori the Love Sherpa. Yeah, thanks, Lori, for being here. Inga, I'm ready for shift. You all are so ready for shift. You really are. You're ready for a shift. You know what? I say, get ready for the shift. Again, get that connection going. Get rid of the stuff in your heads. Like, get rid of that story that you're telling yourself of what you think you are. Just get rid of all that. Okay. For a lot of people, that would be so terrifying, but get rid of it. We were just having a talk yesterday. A dear friend, hi Doug, if you're listening, was with us. And it's fun for people from your past because Doug, a friend of John's, when I first met John's on the Enneagram of Five, he's a loner. Even though he's a Libra, he has Saturn right there next to his sun with Neptune, of course, but he, a loner, right? So I meet his best friend at the time. And one of his close friends, and Doug goes, yeah, no, between you and me, John's birthday's coming up, and he just told me he's never been given a party. Never. And I think it would be the coolest thing if you threw him a party. You got to understand, he hates parties so much that this is almost like his best friend giving me a suicide note. Okay, so I throw the biggest party I can think of. I go into debt. I put it on credit card. I get people over. And not only that, a surprise party. Oh my God. Okay. So it's people, and then so we can laugh about it. Okay, 40 years later, we can laugh about it and sort of see the joy in like what we're trying to do to please and what we do and how, you're kind of in this journey on your own. And I have, as you all know, there's a part of me that has, I don't have enough gratitude in me for the meeting of that individual in my life. Like the absolute, if ever I'm feeling down, if one thing I could say that I was blessed by, it was finding somebody so important and so kind, oh, so sweet and so such a teacher. So, I'm glad he doesn't listen to the shows because it would be very embarrassing. But and happens to be an amazing astrologer, so we have that in common. The firstborn son, both of us sort of Virgo mothers with fire moons, and really looking at the world in such a different yet similar way, profoundly sweet. And so if you take a little bit about what you're doing now and look at what's up and coming, instead of like this election is being so important to you and who gets chosen is so important to you, you prepare that part of you inside first by making sure you have an agreement. It's like if you had a child that you loved that much, that was so, that when you heard their voice was so important to you, you were saying, oh, I'm so glad you're alive and safe. If you told that child that your love of them is dependent on whether Kamala Harris gets it or Donald Trump gets it, if you told them that your happiness and your love of them is going to be dependent on that, I think you'd fall out laughing how silly it sounds, right? So come home, okay? Join me at home. We got to fight it. We got to fight the feelings of bad. We got to fight the feelings of like virtue. Like we think we're so, you know, don't be any of that. Find the voice. That's all. As my big message today with us, find your voice. Find the one that says, I'm here and never left. And then what we get to do is during this eclipse on Wednesday, because there's another full moon, the next full moon after this is part of a giant grand square. We are going to have so much fun. And guess what? I'll have a mixer by then. I have a whole different kind of like, I don't have to lean my butt over. You hear my voice changing volume because I'm leaning. I won't have any of that in a week. But Jay, thank you, Jay, for being so supportive of me and being here when I need you. And you guys, for always being in the room, not being in the room and listening. It doesn't matter. I don't want you to ever feel like you got to be in the room. I don't care. I love that you're there and I love seeing you. But I also know I can't be in a room for everybody that I would love to hear, so I got to hear it later. So thank you anyway for showing up and listening. Thanks for telling friends. Thanks for being a part of One to Listen. The best advisors, the best psychic advisors, the best counselors you want to meet. I know there's really good ones out there that do their thing in person, but this on phone thing to be on demand, these guys kind of kill it. They're killing it. 12listen.com. Please tell a friend. Support us in that way. Let's see. So Kathleen Nicholson is coming up next. She's got a show where she'll actually read for you in the room. And this woman sort of like drips psychic, you know, she just drips it. She's one, if you meet, you know, your stereotypical psychic, you realize they're sort of like dripping this energy, like they're sensitive. They read things. They see symbols where, you know, I saw a scratch mark or graffiti. They see a message. That's available to you. Staying tuned to right after the show. What else did I want to tell you? Yeah, we're going to talk next week about after the eclipse. We'll follow up. I'll be a lot more centered in that stuff. The eclipse will bring me some of that solitude. I know it will. I'm going to say goodbye, but yet I want to go in the room before I do because I want to see, make sure I'm not missing you guys asking questions or having comments. So give me 1 second to get over there. I'm doing it again. I'm just hitting refresh, but when you do that, as you know, it changes everything. So you have to hit comments, then you hit most relevant and change that to all comments. And you scroll back down to where you were and what you'll see. Here we go. It's the Albuquerque. Yeah, I thought, thank you. International Balloon Fiesta, largest in the world. And Mark's two favorite people, Lynn Goldberg and I, live here. You are so right. That's so sweet. I love that you guys get to enjoy that. You're in Albuquerque. How sweet. I went to Taos once. Me and John took our trip to Taos. We went to see the Church of Chimayo because they had holy dirt there, and I just wanted some dirt in my little thing, so give it out. I'm not a really religious guy, right? But I wanted to see that. Oh, well, we went. Let's just go to Taos. We drove, right? I felt those people at Taos hated the ground. I remember walking in a place and asking for directions and the guy staring at me like not answering. And I was like, oh my God, I think in a past life I really hurt some Native Americans. I was really thinking like this was me. It was terrible. So then I wanted to go to a casino because I love slot machines. I'm driving and we're on this dirt road with hand painted signs that go this way, and I go, oh, we are going to be killed. I think we're going to be slaughtered and murdered and our cars taken, and no one will ever know because there's no signal in this part of town. I'm like, great. It was great. We had a great time. I'm just, you know, I don't travel a lot except Discovery Channel, and that's all pretty. So then on the way back from Taos, we went to the church. We go, you guys have got to hear this story real quick. Go into the church. If the whole point of the church is a cross, a crucifix appeared in this spot of land, and this monk drags it by feet out of Taos into the 500 miles away to where he thought the church wanted it. The next day it appeared back at the same spot again magically, right? So they call that a church had to be built there, and where the cross landed was considered holy dirt, and it never runs out, they say. So I'm like, I want to see this dirt. I want to take some of this dirt back home. I had Starbucks cup. I'm a little brat, right? It's just like, I have no respect for anything. I really don't. It's horrifying. So I go, we go in. I don't even see the crucifix. That was the whole magic of it. And okay, I got to yell at Javi real quick. Hold on. I'm so glad you all can't hear my yell voice. I don't even see the crucifix. I walk into this little room and there's crutches in the hallways. I mean, you're like where people were cured. So I'm like, oh, there's a little door. So we walk in the door and there's the hole of dirt. And the door, we could shut the door. I'm like, John, let's get some dirt. So filling up my Starbucks cups, I'm so irreverent. I apologize. Thank you. Please forgive me. And so I'm like stuffing the Starbucks cups. We're stuffing them, putting them in my pockets. And I got these little things from their store and I'm filling them up, like these little crucifixes on them. And I'm like, oh, this dirt. We could like bring it back to the store, give it to people. I never would sell it. Honestly, that's the truth. So I'm like, okay, let's get it. So we do it. Poor John. We stand up and I open the door. There are hundreds of people in line waiting to enter that room. Oh, God. So I do the sign of the cross because I don't know what else to do. And I'm like acting like I was in there praying and walk out with my head down about to die. And so I was like, oh, my God. So on the way home, I was like, let's go. I hate this place. Please, let's go home. So we're driving home. There's a giant casino, right? Oh, let me just run in real quick. I run in. This is such a true story. I put in a $5 bill in a machine. I hit $800. They come and give me the money. I go to John. I split it with him and go, okay, we got the money. We got the dirt. Let's get the hell out of here, please. And we go home. That was like the last trip I took. You can see why. Anyway, I love you guys. Thank you so much. I have such a good time being with you. Judith, what are you saying? Might as well. The disciples might as well jump out of a building if the love of me depends on what my neighborly country decides to do. Yeah, right. Not going to happen. Yeah, right. Love, like, you guys don't make it out here. Okay. Don't make it out here. And thank you. And find your own holy dirt. Any way you want, and it's probably right outside your front door. You guys, thank you so much for being a part of my life. This is Mark Husson. This is Mark's Astrology Hour, signing out. Thanks, Jay.